Well, we can start to get started while Jake is publishing that document. If everybody's ready to get started, are we waiting on anybody?
Yeah, I'll be back on in 2 minutes, chaps. I'm just getting to the hotel now. But Ray, yeah, kickstart it off. That'd be great, mate. Thank you very much.
Cool. Yeah. So the Juno Working Group has been working for 3 or 4 months now, I think it's been that long already, to try to get to something that will allow Juno a path forward in an organizational way so that the community has more transparency. The responsibilities and roles of Core One are basically retired or transferred out of an individual's control or in a small group's control and into a role-based control through this new charter that's been developed. And essentially, what the proposal will do, and I'll just go and start with the mission of the charter, and once Jake's got it shared, we can bounce back through it. But the purpose of this charter that's being proposed is to provide a defined structure of a council and departments, which are essentially sub-DAOs of the council sub-DAO, to create a collaborative, public, and transparent organization with a robust set of checks and balances serving development of Juno Network and the advancement of the Juno Community DAO's interests. And we'll be using the term Juno Community DAO throughout this call. And what that is essentially all of the stakers of Juno, all of the shareholders of Juno are being referred to as the Juno Community DAO. And the council's purpose is to create a common foundation for departments to manage and facilitate the execution of operations, which empower Juno to realize stakeholder objectives and the shared vision of the Juno Community DAO. So that might sound like a little bit of word salad, but basically what we're saying here is that rather than the community be reactive to what the council's activities are, the purpose of the council is to consolidate the will of the community itself into a body of people that can act on the community's behalf. And that way, the vision that gets put forward should be formed out of the desires of the community and be more transparent all the way through. And so the purpose of this charter is to give some structure and to also make essentially all facets of this organization and the leadership in Juno available to the community itself. Membership on the council is made up of sub-DAOs. There are no individual members of the council. The council is made up of the sub-DAOs, and we're starting with 3 sub-DAOs called Development, which is like Leet Society, Hack Juno, Jake, and Developer Relations. And then there's the Community Relations Department, which is essentially comms and any outward-facing integration or any outward-facing interaction. And then there's operations, which is all the internal infrastructure and day-to-day management of operations that need to go on to make Juno functional. And all of those sub-DAOs are made up of members that are electable directly by the community, by the Juno stakers, and removable by the Juno stakers. So there are no positions that are sacred cows or anything in that nature. Every position is available for anyone. So how are we looking, Jake, on getting that charter up so that people can see
it? I'm about to tweet it out, and I'm going to add it to the nest. So
cool. But if anyone has any questions, we'll just kind of walk through some of these sections here. And obviously, when you can follow along and read it, it'll be much easier. But if anybody has any questions at any time, I'm not co-host, but we'll get you up to speak or send a DM or something, and we can address any questions along the way.
Yeah, I think this will be a great discussion. And, you know, rest assured, this is a draft. It's not real until we like ratify it as a community. So this is just the first time we're going to be talking about it. And I'm sure there's going to be lots of fun discussions.
Yep. Yeah. So to get started with the charter proposal, you know, we want it to be a trial period of 6 months, at which point there'll either be more formalized governance enacted or the community can decide to do whatever they would like to do with it at that point. I think the big thing that people are interested in as well is the enactment of this charter dissolves Core One, and Core One is no longer a thing. Once this charter proposal would be ratified, they would be dissolved and their assets would be as defined. You'll see it in the proposal, but as defined, they'll be sent either back to the community pool or they'll be sent to the council's treasury itself. And just keep in mind that the council's treasury can be vetoed or can be acted upon by the community. So it isn't going back into a black box that the community has no control over. I will go a little bit further.
All right.
Go ahead.
It's up. So you can take a look at it yourself. Would love to get, you know, people's thoughts and feedbacks on it. Obviously, we're going to have a big, big discussion over it, but come read it yourself. Put your comments in the Twitter thread, you know, and we'll definitely have a lot of people come up and speak and ask questions about it. So.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll cover this first. Go ahead.
Hey guys, that's me just checking in now. So if you shared the document there, what the agenda for the space was really to go over the main topics on it, but get as much community engagement as possible. We'll give a little fact if anybody wants to come up and ask some questions on it. But as I say, I'll be 5 minutes and then I'll get involved in a conversation. Really appreciate it, Ray and Jake, taking the head on this one, chaps. Thank you.
Oh, it's not just us. It's been a lot of work. There's been so many inputs from a lot of great people on the Juno Working Group. Like, this has been actually a really cool effort to be a part of.
Yeah, and I think we should keep in mind that this is just a first pass. Like, I think we should get this or something very similar enacted and move governance forward in Juno so that the community basically can drive the bus from here on out and work towards ratifying a constitution. We're just taking this charter step as a step forward to basically democratizing Juno governance fully. And then the constitution ratifying more of the nuts and bolts of it at some point, like 6 months in the future, after this has been kind of run through and people are able to say, well, this works, this doesn't work, we want more of this, we want less of this. And to kind of get a hands-on approach to actually having a functional governance.
Well, more importantly, Ray, the plan is there's an actual structure to it. There's a plan. It gives the opportunity for the community to then get involved. You know, general communications. We've kind of, I'm not bragging here, but we've kind of like paved the way for everyone to show what you can do as a sub DAO. But now there's more of a structure to it. We can now come to the council. The council then is a kind of unity of all other members in the departments come together, and then we bring it to the general community DAO. So once people actually like see the layout of it, especially that diagram in the document, it's really useful. If you see the way it's structured, then you know I think everybody
yeah,
can
perhaps
start
we should just
getting
do...
involved.
Definitely. And you know, we got to give people time to read it, but like, let's maybe do like just the highest level pass, and then I'd love to talk, Ray, with you about like some of the details. But I'm going to give my own TLDR version, and then maybe you can also build on that, Ray. But I think like, what are the main changes in this charter? And first of all, I think, why is it a charter and not a constitution? This was actually a genius idea that came from Lil D, which is like, it's important to walk before you run. And like by doing a charter before the Constitution, we can take all our learnings from that period and then use them to better inform the Constitution. And hopefully just make it like something that's like quality, right? We need a little bit of a trial period with this, you know, with a charter to actually have learnings to like inform things that we need to solidify in the Constitution. And so it's the first step. And I think breaking it up with, like that, originally I was going to be like, let's just make it a Constitution. And actually Lil D, who's very thoughtful on a lot of this stuff, was like a big advocate for the charter as like this trial period to see how we like all this stuff and see what other elements that we need to like add to the Constitution. I mean, obviously with community feedback, we can also add things to the charter, but I think that's a great way of breaking it down. So what happens here? First of all, Core One will be dissolved and its treasury will be partially given back to the community pool and then partially reallocated to a new governance structure. And the new governance structure, we have departments. Development, comms, operations. These are the sub-DAOs that we've had before, right? And you know, it's always possible to create new sub-DAOs, right? New departments. But we feel like those three are like the most core, right? Above the sub-DAOs, we have the council. Each sub-DAO, as a DAO, has a seat on the council. So it's not individuals on the council anymore, it's departments. So all the departments are sort of forced to work together and collaborate on shared goals and agreeing on a budget. The council, importantly, cannot do anything like, you know, sort of like unilaterally unchecked. This was a problem with Core One, right? That's all water under the bridge. It's a dead horse, and it's going to be dissolved. But the council, like importantly, the community will have veto power over the council. And so all the sub-DAOs will come together, they'll agree on a budget, and then the community will have a big window of time to evaluate that budget and choose whether or not they want to veto it. That's kind of like that. There's some more details. That's kind of like the high level take of the structure. We're trying to get more coordination between the different sub-DAOs. We're trying to get some rotation of leadership, right? We're trying to put in place more checks and balances so that the community can really feel like they're in control, and so that they are really in control. And then, you know, there's also some really other important details in here, which we can definitely talk about and highlight. There's going to be some new processes around meetings to making sure that, you know, that and perhaps Ray, you can speak more to that, but making sure that sub-DAOs and anything related to the council is happening in like a transparent way that anyone can follow, right? No more backdoor, like closed door meetings or whatever. I mean, we're already pretty radically open chain, but like, let's just keep going. And so, yeah, maybe I'll stop there. That's probably like a good TLDR. Like out with the old, in with the new. Core One is gone and in its place is going to be this new structure. There's going to be three different departments, devs, comms, operations, and those departments will comprise the council. Again, it's not individuals on the council, it's DAOs on the council. And we could potentially add more to this as we get a chance to experiment and we get some more features and data out potentially. Everything that applied to sub-DAOs also applies before. So again, the Juno community will have like admin ability over the various different sub-DAOs and the council. If you want to rug the council of all its treasury, just you have to pass a vote in Juno governance, right? If you want to add a board member to the council, like an individual, and not just have it be sub-DAOs, you know, maybe there's a leader from the community that you'd really like. It's fundamentally the Juno community will control the direction of this stuff, and we hope that there's like enough checks and balances here. Again, we'd love to hear feedback from the community or ideas so that we can like make sure that we're all aligned. Ray, do you have anything to add?
No, you did a really good job summarizing a lot of what we're talking about here. Essentially, the accountability through checks and balances is going to work its way up from the bottom. DAOs or the departments, the individual in the department are accountable to the departments. The council is accountable to the sum of the departments that are recognized. And then the council itself is accountable to the Juno community. So the idea here is that it's in the best interest of other departments to make sure that, you know, each individual department is behaving and operating in a way that's in line with this charter. And it's the community's responsibility to hold the charter and the council accountable for, you know, adhering to this charter as well. I do want to say that the intention of this is that departments will be able to move fast and break things because they are small and lean and can operate quickly. And they have their own individual budgets that have been approved by the sum of the departments. And there are a couple of rights. I know with Jake talking about the expansion of this potentially, there are a couple of rights that you'll see in the charter that are reserved exclusively for the Juno Community DAO. So the sum of all the stakers, the community, and that is creating new departments on the council and modifying this charter. So the council itself cannot modify the agreement. Only the Juno community can modify this charter. So the council or the departments can't change this charter. And the council and departments cannot add new departments to them, to the organization itself. So those rights are exclusively reserved for the community itself. So if there is another sub-DAO that comes up and the community thinks, hey, this would be worthwhile to add to the council, you know, the community can decide to do that. Just to answer the question, because this has come up multiple times, if there's an even number of sub-DAOs within the council, so let's say they add one, so that makes it four departments in the council, it's an absolute majority that determines the vote. So if there's four, that means three departments are required to agree to pass anything at the council.
Great. You know, maybe it's better to, like, I don't know how you want to structure this time, right? But, you know, we could just have people, like, come up and start asking questions. Hopefully they're getting a chance to read through it. And maybe that's a good use of our time, unless you wanted to, like, do, like, a more specific walkthrough. But I feel like we've done, like, a decent, like, kind of high-level overview. So maybe...
Yeah, there's just a couple of things that I think we can touch on.
Hey, everybody,
just
I'm
to wrap
finally
it up.
Settled down. Yeah, I've been listening, and that's good stuff. Thanks for the introduction, chaps. Yeah, I think we should open the floor to any community members who have any questions from the TLDR on the proposal. There is loads of sections to this. We should let everyone read it first of all.
It will also be going up on Commonwealth, obviously.
Yeah.
This is the draft before the draft, and we're going to have a lot of discussion about it over these, you know, the next couple weeks. And then we're going to move forward. So hopefully but Ray, while people are requesting to speak, maybe with their like questions or comments, what were the other things you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think one of the key things that's being changed with this is that any partnerships or agreements now have to be ratified by the council itself, not by departments. So that means any agreements that involve Juno will have an opportunity for the community to veto them. So the community won't be finding out of an agreement or an allocation or a dispensation. Those things will need to pass through the council first, which means there will be an opportunity for the community to weigh in on partnerships or agreements that are getting deployed.
And I also think that's great because, again, it forces devs, comms, operations, to all those people to come together and think about these agreements from all those different lenses, right? From like a business lens, from a communication lens, from a developer lens. Like, each of those are important. And I think that'll help create like a little bit more coordination and alignment rather than devs just doing stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody's gotten to the existing distribution, but currently in core one.
Hey, Ray, can you test your mic a wee minute? I don't know if I'm getting you.
You might have to leave and come back up because I can hear him fine.
Yeah, one second. Let me rejoin.
I was going to say, I know people are asking about what's going to happen with core one's treasury. And so there's approximately 3.3 million Juno in there right now. And the proposed allocation in this charter, and this isn't in the charter itself, but this is in the proposal for the charter. So this is how the charter will be implemented, is that 750,000 Juno will be sent to the development department to meet the existing agreements during the trial term. So that's Reese's salary and other payments that are on, you know, the books to be made. And then 550,000 Juno will be sent to the council that the council can then, if they, you know, choose, obviously, with community oversight to allocate in a proposed budget from another department. And then 2 million of that is going to be sent back to the community pool itself.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I think we can also have a big discussion about these numbers. They will be in the Commonwealth Post. I commented them out because I didn't want people to get distracted about the numbers. There's going to be a lot of discussion about that, and we can definitely talk a lot more about that on this call. As well, the other open topic is like who's going to be on these sub-DAOs. I think there will be some familiar faces, but there will also be some new faces. But faces ultimately that are chosen and ratified by the community.
I'd like to also add as well, like, sorry, Jake, but dissolving of Core One is one thing. I know there's been a lot of chat in the community about it, but I don't want to get rid of Core One. I want Core One involved in some sort of way, whether they come as an advisory form into these departments. I think it's strong. I think it's a, like, where do we go from here if Core One's just like dissolved and disappeared? Do you know what I mean, Jake? I know you're involved.
Oh no, we're not disappearing, but we're gonna divide up. Like Max is gonna still be around. I'm gonna still be around. Demi, like, you know, we're still gonna be involved. But it's important to bring in new people, right?
Yeah,
and make sure there's more balance and that it's not just a Core One run chain, right? And I think that's incredibly important and crucial, right? So you know, I'm gonna be on the development sub-DAO with Reese, and you know, we're exploring some other candidates for that. We might have Jack on that. We might have some additional folks. Operations sub-DAO, Demi is going to be on that. We're definitely looking for other members. If you're like really active Juno community member and have any interest in this at all, please reach out. We're going to have a much longer discussion about who is exactly on each person, like each sub-DAO, right? Max and yourself are going to be on the comm sub-DAO along with some other people. It's a chance to, you know, bring a little bit more balance and in terms of perspective and making sure that, you know, like we still have Core One folks involved, right? We're very invested in the success of this project and like the rebirth of this project.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it's just that the way Core One operated is just clearly not working, and it's time for change, and it's time to bring a little bit more balance, and it's time to bring more community oversight, and that's just part of growing up as a project.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, and I just wanted to clarify that because there was a few people who have spoke to say, like, you know, where do we go if Core One disappeared? But I'm like, well, no, they're not disappearing. We still want Core One, but like we say, we're trying to give the accountability more towards the Juno community DAO, and this is the whole point of this charter plan here. So while we're here, right, let's get into a bit of the departments. Now, we know what the development sort of the developer department's going to be doing, right? That's yourself, Jake, leading up on that. Now, you spoke about Reese, and we know the known candidates for this department. We know the comms department. Personally, I'm interested to hear more about who's going to be in the operations department. Now, there's no many names kind of in there at first. In my opinion, I love Frey. I think Frey's an amazing operator. He's got track record outside crypto of doing this. But also, I'd like to hear more of what Block's idea is. You know, Block could be a good operator as well. But like I say, I asked him to come on the call today as well, and I don't see him on this call. So, you know, I think it's an avenue we need to explore because operations is an important role, I think. I don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah, and there's definitely some things we want to like kind of fold into operations. So like the existing delegation sub-DAO, right, which manages like, you know, community delegations to validators. I don't know if you're in the toilet, but you might want to mute yourself. Oh.
Sorry, man. Just one of the days, lads. Thank you.
Cool. So, you know, operations department is kind of like, I think it'll kind of roll up some of our existing things, like the growth fund, right? which has been a little bit inactive, but, you know, still has some like assets and stuff, like, you know, the DAO tokens and, you know, delegations sub-DAO as well. I think we really want to round it out with just not just operators, but also people that are thinking like maybe from the more business side of the chain, people that are very interested in like sort of business development and like tokenomics and like kind of those aspects, right? It's operations is probably the broadest sub out here. You know, in the future, when we get to the constitution, we might break it up further into like different responsibilities. But Ray, you got your hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, to add to your point earlier too, is that the idea behind this structure is to scale beyond Core One and to get this thing to grow to a broader representation of the intentions or, you know, desires of the Juno community as well. So I think it should be made clear that there are five voting roles to influence the council within each department, but there can be advisory people, or there can actually be contracted or hired and paid working people. But the five roles that are voting roles that influence the council and the directions of the sub-DAOs, I mean, those roles could be filled by anyone in the community who actually has passion and drive and interest in being invested into Juno and interested in investing time into making sure that this charter is successful. So I think we can rely on Core One for advisory positions, but I would argue from the feedback I've gotten, maybe it's not argue, but I would say from the feedback I've gotten that the engagement has been minimal, and I think it would be useful to have a more diverse group of people driving each of the departments, where Core One has a participatory in voting role by one member or maybe two members, but they're not, you know, running a particular department itself.
Yeah, that makes brilliant sense. Now, touching on I don't think it's a good time to go into like compensation and budget, and that's something I think the community needs to read this document fully, first of all. But I want to really touch on the department side of things, right? And so the community is really understanding what we're trying to bring home here. Now, like, especially the role and function of departments of DAOs, you know, their importance in making decisions on behalf of the Junity community DAO. This is really important, man. You know, you need to realize like how departments handle daily requirements and budget submissions to the council. You know what I mean? And then insights into the creation of sub DAOs and the recognition as well. So this is like, we need to bring it home to the community and basically like explain the structure of this. You know, it begins with the departments then go to the council are then accountable to the Juno community DAO. There's a lot in this document, but I think we should touch on, in this space, I think tonight we should touch on mostly how the structure is and where we go from there, you know?
Yeah, I can touch on that a little bit, unless Jake, you want to take it?
Go for it.
Yeah, I think the idea here is to you know, when they talk about politics and they talk about governance, everything is local. So to develop and build things as a larger group, we need consensus in smaller groups first. And to build those consensus and those agreements and those kind of partnerships and cooperation internally within the departments first, and then use the departments to talk to each other to build consensus within the departments, and then present it basically to the community through council actions, and then have consensus with the community by, you know, basically passing things as a council and proposing things to the community directly. So I think that kind of explains the structure. Basically, you're just making the group small enough to actually be productive, and then keep expanding like the reach of the consensus larger to a larger and larger group.
Right. So who is now, who's part of the general community DAO? Right. So how do you make the whole community decide on what the council is trying to propose to them? How does it work in terms of like the structure?
All the Juno stickers are part of the Juno community DAO.
Right.
You're already a sticker.
I know that, right?
And you already vote on proposals. It's just like that.
So basically, if you're staking Juno, then you have a voting power to make decisions on what the council's proposing. Is that what we're getting at?
You have veto power over the council, yeah.
Right, got it.
And
so the idea,
you know, another thing I think it is important to add is, and I think will make all this like a lot nicer, is that Noah's putting in a lot of work with the DAO UI to get it ready for this, right? You know, like creating a great UI, you participate in governance and follow everything that's going on. So you'll be able to like go to the, you can already go to DAO.gov/Juno, and you can see all the props there. There's even UI for making props, which is really cool. And that's going to get better and better. But you know, there's going to be a list of all the official sub-DAOs. You'll be able to like see them. You'll be able to follow them. So you get like notifications in your inbox if there's like a new council proposal, you know, just to make sure the council's not doing anything sneaky, or any like all the sleuths out there, like Rarma, who we should definitely pressure into like, you know, joining in one of these sub-DAOs. I think it'd be great on op, but you know, all the sleuths out there can, you know, follow each of these sub-DAOs and look into like every single like nitty gritty little detail. We have some requirements in here about more open communication and like transparent meetings, which I think is really great. And I think it's important that there's like a good UI for doing all this as well. And I think about like, you know, the cancel wind prop vesting prop, you know, which passed. But the smart contract message was like a little bit wrong. And so just having UI to make it really easy to like enforce like the will of community and to know everything that's going on, and being able to see in a UI how it's all structured, is I think really going to bring all this together.
Okay, so while we're on the Juno Community DAO, they have admin control over membership conditions for the council. So if there's something the Juno Community DAO doesn't like, they can, well, basically the council's accountable to the Juno Community DAO. Sorry, Ray, go on.
No, you're making the point there. I wanted to say too, I just wanted to add to what Jake was saying. And I think one of the highlights of this structure that doesn't exist in pretty much most if any decentralized structure in Cosmos now is that this has budgets, and that these departments don't have slush funds of their own. They need to apply for a budget that passes through the council, and the council sends that budget to the Juno community for approval, so that there is some thought going into like what departments are spending their time doing and the direction that they're going in. So that gives an opportunity for there to be engagement between the community and the departments themselves up front. You know, like, hey, we want to do these things in the next 3 months, and we think it's going to cost this much money. And then there's a discussion about it, and the budget passes and they get the money, or the budget doesn't pass and they don't get the money, or there has to be a discussion about what the direction is. So when we're talking about trying to figure out what the direction or what the values or what the vision is for Juno, I think having some preemptive, you know, engagement in terms of where people want to invest time and resources of Juno will help kind of the community and the council form, you know, a direction.
Yeah, champion that. I do champion that. As I say, I'm not going to go into the budget and thing. Now it's such a broad topic. We need to, you know, like go into this at another time. There's so much on this to go over, but
we should definitely do. Let's do another call next week, right?
Yeah,
give people time to digest it, right? You know, and then you know we can like take any feedback we get from today or over the next like week, and you know keep iterating, and then like aim to like have another call next week and like, you know, start putting things up on Commonwealth as we feel like better and better, and we feel that, you know, this is something the community can align behind, right? So let's definitely do another call next week, and
let's press on with okay, so we've covered a little bit about the Juno Community DAO, which is the head of the whole thing. Okay, the community, we get that now. So let's go into the council overview a little bit. Okay, so let's, like, you know, definition of the council and its roles. Okay, so we've touched on a little bit already. We've got the developer, we've got the comms, and we have obviously operations. Now, you know, rights of the community regarding the council. Can the community just add in new members as they see fit?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you think that's a bit risky?
They could add sub-DAOs as they see fit. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the community that runs this chain. So if we can't trust our community, then we're then that's not great, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm perfectly okay with that. Now, they have the full ability to add potentially individuals, right? Or potentially add new sub-DAOs. So maybe they want an advisory sub-DAO that's really just, you know, the people that are like, you know, earned. Maybe they want to add an oversight sub-DAO. This is also part of the reason why we're going through the charter process, because I feel like inevitably over these next 6 months, as we work with the new structure, we'll be able to solidify things more to where we can kind of like put them a little bit more in a finalized form in the constitution, right? But yes, it's fully in the community's ability to add new sub-DAOs or individuals to the council. It's also in their ability to, you know, just dissolve all this stuff. They really don't think it's going a good direction. Same thing applies to sub-DAOs. They can, you know, execute any message they want on behalf of the sub-DAO. So they could send more of the treasury to the community pool. They could cancel vesting agreements, you know. So like all those rules apply. So yeah, hopefully that provides a bit more context on like that question.
Thank you. The next thing I wanted to touch on now, and all of these there, is that you and the NetAdal. So I'm just thinking like a constitution in terms of like policy and procedure operations for the council before you join the council, or before as the policies involved where, you know, we have to stick to a constitution within the council before you join it. Is there anything we've touched on?
I think an important thing to reiterate is there's no individuals on the council yet, unless the community decides they really want to like add a particular individual on the council. The sub-DAOs themselves sit on the council. And so in order to put up a prop on the council, like a budget request, a department like development or comms has to vote on a budget like proposal in the council. And then all the other sub-DAOs have to vote as a sub-DAO, right? On what their decision will be with the council proposal. And then the community gets a chance to vote. Veto, right?
Right, there we go. So you've hit the nail there. So the departments have got members. Then the council has the sub-DAOs, which vote on, which then brings it to the Juno Comms DAO. Am I right?
The community DAO, I just want to indicate, too, that the intention here in having the sub-DAO membership vote is intentional in the sense that it is to decentralize the authority and control from a single individual into having smaller groups actually make decisions and operate as an individual entity.
Excellent. You also touched on it, Ray, in the document that there's going to be meeting structures, so, you know, frequency of council and department meetings. Do you want to touch on a little bit about that for a wee second? Like, I think it's a good thing. I think there should be, like, a head of each department, like, coming up and having a chat and giving the community updates.
Sure. The intention is that if there's ever enough people from a particular department, or if there are multiple members for the council itself, in a space discussing business, that the meeting needs to be declared and it needs to be open for the community to attend and listen to, or to they don't necessarily need to participate, but they need to be aware that it exists and they need to be able to observe it. So no, everything unless there's a, in the charter itself, there's a list of 8 reasons, but essentially 8 reasons why the meeting could be closed. But essentially we're following open meeting law as it's commonly used in governance in the real world to kind of define when a meeting should be available to the public to attend, which is essentially almost always.
Cool. Excellent. Let's talk about the trial period then, guys. There was chat about 3 months, but Jake, you had opinions against that, and we're kind of pushing towards 6 months now. What's the reason behind that? 3 months goes a bit fast, I must believe, but, you know, 6 months, but, you know, let's talk about that. You know, what's the outcomes if a constitution isn't really ratified by the end of the trial? You know, where do we go from there?
Transfer everything to the community pool.
Well, I can say it's defined in the charter agreement already, this proposal. But go ahead.
No, elaborate on a bit on that, Ray, and then I can also talk on why I think this charter and this trial period is a good thing.
Yeah. So just to channel Little D and NetAdow, you know, Little D often says, hey, you need an or else. Otherwise, it doesn't mean what you're instructing people to do because there are no consequences. So if nothing is done in 6 months, the or else is that the council is instructed to put a prop up to the community to either extend the period of time for the charter to operate or to dissolve the charter at that time. So there is a clear instruction on what is to happen at the end of the 6 months. And Jake can talk about the specifics on the other side and reasoning behind it. But the other clarifier that will end this charter is that if the constitution is finished before the 6 months and it goes up for a vote and it passes governance on Juno, then the constitution supersedes the charter and the charter is nullified by the ratified constitution.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point. Is like, I think 3 months to me was like a little bit too quick, as it takes a while to like really get situated in this new governance system and get all the learnings we can from it to inform the constitution going forward, right? A lot of times it's all about the nitty gritty details, like what exactly is budgeting process, right? You know, we have kind of like a high level attempt here, and that's great. It's progress. But, you know, this trial period helps us get learning so that we can just actually make a really high quality constitution that we don't have to like amend right away or like, you know. And as Ray said, it can always end early. Like if we really like love this new system and we figure out a few other pieces we want to add and we're very happy with the state of the constitution, like 3 months from now, then great.
Yeah, it was just to touch on, you know, like if things don't go well, you know, what happens? What is the situation with the general community now? You know, like, you know, if something they don't agree on, you know what I mean, if they've got control of funds, and it's like, you know, yeah, you've touched on it there. 6 months, I agree on, I think, anyway, but there needs to be something in place that, or else, like you say, definitely.
And that or else is in place. Like, we have to either extend the charter, right? We just need, like, we need more time for the constitution, a yes or no community, or we dissolve the charter. And, you know, in that case, we probably just like send everything back to the community pool and, you know, the process begins again, right? So those are the options. We ratify the constitution, we extend the charter, we just dissolve the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I do want to just add that in the charter itself, it does reserve the right for the Juno community to modify the charter in any way they choose. So they could add, remove, delete, dissolve it, whatever they want. They don't have to wait for the 6 months if this is a complete disaster or if they realize there's something that absolutely needs to be altered.
Yeah. I'd just like to invite any attendees on this call to raise their hands if they want to come up, because we're getting to the point where we will accept some community questions. I know it's a lot to take in. It is a little bit of a mind fuck at times, but once you start getting your head around it, I think it's amazing. I do think we need to do another space this time next week regarding budgeting and compensation, what's happening with, you know, communities' funds, basically. I do think it's a topic on its own. But I just want to invite everybody, you know, even if it's a stupid question or simple question, just come up and ask something. Do you know what I mean? We can touch on another subject. I just want to highlight that. And if any attendees that want to do so, please do.
I do want to just iterate on one other thing too. This isn't a replacement for Juno governance. This is enabling the will of Juno governance. So this organization is to carry out what the community wants it to do. This isn't to replace the community's ability to function as governance on the chain.
Jake, all this stuff's been done on DAO, right? How are you finding building all this out in terms of a UI? Are you now being inspired to build out this, what I think is going to be the future of Cosmos governance, mate?
Yeah, no, it's really fucking exciting. And it's cool to see like Juno leading the way on this, right?
Yeah.
Like if only the IC, like what if the ICF or like Cosmos Hub governance, or like, you know, these are actually the kind of tools that are going to set the pattern for Like, I think the future of Cosmos governance, and we're leading the way. And, you know, I think that is really awesome. And Noah's doing a great job in the UI. Like, we're already having lots of conversations about it. The subDAO features will be launched soon, so you'll be able to like more easily follow like Juno subDAOs. We have, in light of Prop 315 having the wrong message in it, there's the Vestine account is, there's a prop in Core 1. The community will be honored. But to prevent that in the future, we have to make it really easy for the community to create a proposal to cancel something a subDAO is doing, or replacing a member on a subDAO, or adding a member to a subDAO. Yes. And so there's going to be UI for that like in the next week, which is really awesome.
Just before I invite Tank up to speak as well, but I just want to comment on that as well. Like, you know, I think the Charter, Ray, not just you, Ray, you know, Brady, every one of these guys, Lil D, fantastic work, man. It's like, you know, I think the Charter's going to provide like a structure now for, you know, not just the council, but also departments within Juno. And from going forward, I do think after seeing the examples led by these departments, I do think we'll have fresh ideas come in. I just want to applaud you guys straight off, man. Fucking well done, you know. Tank, welcome to the call, mate.
Yeah, it took exactly what I wanted to say, first and foremost, straight out of my mouth. Just really exciting, really cool to see everybody come together, everybody that's worked on this, from Core One to the Journey Working Group to every subDAO that's been in place thus far in the Juno community. Like, congratulations, guys. It's been a long, I've been a fly on the wall watching it and observing it. And it's been a very long and tedious process. You know, there's definitely been some bumps in getting this to where it is right now to present it to the community. But man, it was awesome. So awesome to watch and see things progress, man. Congratulations, everybody. I do have a stupid question. I think you guys covered it earlier, but I was doing multiple things. For people that want to or that are passionate, like you guys were saying, and maybe be involved in operations or, you know, anywhere they think that they might actually be helpful or beneficial, what does that process look like? Do they have to be nominated? Can they nominate themselves? Like, what does that look like?
Jake, we touched on this a little bit in the meeting, but Jake, you were in the meeting. Yeah. If you've got an answer, Jake, go for it by all means.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this is another reason to have a charter and then the constitution, because by the time we have the constitution, I think we'll have some like election tools in DAO, which I think would be really, really great. We don't have those yet today. And so what we have to do as you know, I think a good process in the meantime is like, I mean, Tank, you are actually at someone I would, you know, love to see is like, you know, in the running for, you know, Operation subDAO. I think you add a lot of, you know, great perspective on like sort of like the business side of things and, you know, just and just like representing community interests. I think, you know, process is like, it's all in this public discussion, right? And, you know, that'll be on Commonwealth, that'll be here on Twitter. If you're really interested in doing this, like, put your hand up, right? Like, tweet it out, like, you know, you know, we have to, like, given our current tooling and we don't have, like, DAO election stuff yet soon, I really hope that that is firmly in place by the time of the Constitution. In the meantime, I think we just have to do it through public discussions on Commonwealth and on Twitter and in Discord, right? And when this charter goes up, there will be a list of every subDAO and a member of every subDAO, right? So we're, like, kind of, you know, coming to soft consensus as a community just through public discussion about, you know, what that should look like. And Ray has his hand up. He might have more to add there, or like more nuance he wants to throw on this.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to, like, if we can talk about the real struggle with all this is we have been talking about this probably consuming a lot of our conversations in the last month or in the last couple of weeks. I don't know that there is a perfect way to do this without any sort of completely transparent public election process. So if there are people in the community or if there are ideas, I think we just have to have these conversations like Jake is saying and try to form whatever consensus we can form in the best and most transparent way publicly we can do it. And if people, you know, if somebody thinks there's something going on that's not fair, they just say it, because we're definitely trying to make sure that everybody who's interested has an opportunity to get involved.
I think, Ray, like, once we, excuse me, guys, if you, like, we go over the budget and then compensation side of things, then at least people know what to expect once they join a department, right? They have a set budget, and, you know, if people want to just get involved, then there's your budget. You know, do you want to do it? Do you not want to do it? But at least you know where you're at. You know, you've got a budget there. You know, might not be much to some people, but there's people out there who would appreciate a certain amount of contributions, and they might work their ass off for it, you know. But there's also people out there like myself and other people who really do fucking spend a lot of time on, you know. And, you know, we do it for the, we believe in this change, you know what I mean? So you might necessarily not, you might find some good contributors there who just keenly want to get involved, as opposed to having to go through an election campaign and stuff, you know. Like I say, it might tie in with the budget inside the things in the call next week. Just not.
Well,
and yeah, we could add a little bit more clarity there as well. And so I think another thing to keep in mind is, yes, the charter will go up with like a slate of all the candidates, and we're going to figure that out through like public discussions. But again, at any time, if the community wants to add or remove people from sub-DAOs, they can totally do that through the normal governance process. And we're going to make the UI very easy and accessible for that. I think another thing to add is that in this charter period, there is a section on compensation. And again, we can talk more about this next week. Compensation is going to be like embarrassingly low for this period. Like, there's going to be something, because I think, and Ray had a really good rationale why there needs to be something, but it needs to be like low. And the reason is we want to attract people that are here because they care like about something on a deeper level. But at the same time, then, you know, I guess to summarize like Ray's thoughts on it, and Ray, you can put this in your own words just after this, is like, there needs to be something at stake for the community. Like, even if it's a very like embarrassingly like low amount, right? Like 1,000 Juno or whatever. Like, there's something at stake, right? And, you know, we don't want to
just let me interrupt. What the fuck is that in the background? Was that your screaming kettle or something there, mate?
Oh yeah, I'm making some tea right now. But Ray probably has more important to like things to like add on that, but you know.
Yeah, just quickly though, before Ray goes in, like, I agree with you there, Jay. You know, you need to change the narrative, right? We want 1,000 Juno because you want 1,000 Juno. It's stacking Juno, not to sell fucking Juno on the market as it is now at 0.13 fucking cents. We want to, you know, remember 1,000 Juno when it was at nearly all time highs? It was a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? So we need to change that where we want to get involved, where people are actually interested in stacking Juno for the sake of actually building Juno up. People who believe in it.
Ray's got his hand up. And, you know, I think this is one last thought before Ray chimes in with his thoughts on all this. You know, compensation is definitely going to be another thing that's going to have to be just really refined in when the Constitution comes into place, right? Because, you know, even if we do like embarrassingly like low level, like, you know, okay, you're getting like $100 worth of Juno, and it's way more like time and effort and like responsibility than that's worth if you just look at a dollar amount, right? But you know, there needs to be something at stake for the community. We can't just have like people sitting on these sub-DAOs and like doing nothing, right? So there's like that sort of aspect. And then compensation is this really difficult topic that we're definitely going to have to like hammer out a lot more for the Constitution, because as the network grows, as we evolve, we're going to need people that are like, you know, maybe closer to like full-time contributors, right? And then figuring out, okay, how do we, you know, we can't just have like departments like vote to like pay themselves. It's like not super great. Ray, you've got your hand up. You probably have a lot more thoughts to add on this. You've been very thoughtful on this topic in the past when we've talked.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I agree with it, what everybody's saying. I want to just like hammer on one thing. So what we're doing with this charter is we're not telling Juno what to do. The idea isn't to say, Juno, you have to go this way, you have to pay these people this much, you have to do these things. The purpose of this charter is to give everybody a clear and defined set of what the rules of the game are. And that's really the intention here, is to show people this is how you engage in the system. This is how, you know, this is how you get involved. This is how you get out, et cetera. This is how the rules work, how the votes work, et cetera. To speak to compensation, it is, you know, I think the other thing that needs to be made clear before we talk about compensation is there is no limit on the amount of people in a sub-DAO. But what we have to be clear on, by the way this charter is designed, is that there are five voting members of the sub-DAO that influence the council. So those roles are separate, but they could be combined with an actual day-to-day working role within the department. So it is clearly possible and very possible that the five voting members of a sub-DAO are people who are genuinely invested as a community member, but they're not necessarily doing the day-to-day work of the sub-DAO. So they are just there to oversee the sub-DAO, engage in the governance of the sub-DAO, maybe collaborate or drive the direction of the sub-DAO. But they may not be the person working on the servers. They may not be the person writing articles. You know, so there's no, when we talk about the budget of the sub-DAO, that compensation within the budget of the sub-DAO, which is separate of the compensation we're talking about in this specific conversation, that's defined by the budget. So if you're paying your website maintenance person or your developer or your graphics person, you're paying them X amount of dollars, that's in the budget. That's separate of this compensation. The compensation we're talking about here is the compensation for being a willing governance participant within the ecosystem. So being a voting member of a department that engages in votes and the council business. So I'll just wrap this up with, so when we're talking about compensation, having it mean something, you know, we need some sort of symbolic compensation at a bare minimum, because at least then the community can say it costs us something to have somebody sit in this seat and do nothing. And so having the community have a justification for an argument against removing somebody just for the fact that they do nothing, because there is a cost to doing nothing, I think that, you know, having some set of compensation allows for the community to easily make that argument.
Well said, Ray. Well said. If there's anybody in the community want to just bounce up and say their mind, please feel free. But, you know, I think we should definitely do a this time next week for a budgeting side of things, compensation. I'll try.
Yeah, we'll just do this time. We'll do another charter deep dive. There's going to probably be more spaces. There's probably going to be a lot more discussion about this, and that's great. And we want to have a big public discussion about it because it's awesome as well. We want people to get excited about this.
Like, it's great, Jake. I love it, man. And it's a real use case for DAO as well. I fucking love it, man. It's giving you the opportunity to try and iron out all the stuff you need to do on the UI side of DAO. I think it's fundamental. I think it's going to be pioneering the way Cosmos governance is going. Like I mentioned before, you know, we've got a general community call coming up next Tuesday. We'll go through the usual stuff, but yeah, there'll be members of the Juno working group here. There'll be Jake, there'll be core members as well. And then we'll do a separate space again for to just get this charter like brought home to the community. I think it's important that you all go and give it a good read now. You know, DM us on Telegram, give us all a shout. Any questions you want to ask on that, Ray, Brady, Lil D, all these chaps that I speak to quite frequently. You know, there's also like Stefan as well is fucking amazing. You know, I can't stress enough how much of like great minds are behind this venture. But you know, just a little, you know, the brief importance on this charter, I think, you know, Ray outlined there a minute ago. We'll give it a 6-month trial period, we'll see how it goes. But we'll get it up Commonwealth first, guys. Is that the plan? And then what happens after the Commonwealth? How does it all like come in, and how does it all start going and moving ahead?
Yeah, that'll also be in the Commonwealth proposals, all the technical things that will happen to reorg all the structure. And, you know, some of it, you know, the cool thing about Cosmos SDK 47 is we can actually do a governance vote that actually executes many different messages at once. So we could have, you know, everything that's going to happen, like, okay, Hack Juno is going to get dissolved. That money is going to get returned to the community pool. Core One is going to get resolved. That money is going to like get split these ways. Some of it's going to the community pool. Some of it's going to council. You know, like all that's going to be just like well outlined and documented. And we'll probably do a good testnet run, right?
Yeah.
And Yeah, I think that so there'll be like a whole like implementation plan that's also part of the proposal, which is like sort of the technical realization of what's in the proposal.
Awesome.
And it's a lot.
Yeah, so what's going on?
It is a lot, but it's honestly not that bad. Like, I feel very good about it. We got fucking Reese, who's like just already like done a lot of the work to like make some of these things happen, like convert Core One vesting it, like legacy SDK vesting accounts into smart contracts that are, you know, controlled by the community and cancelable by the community. Reese has already done like a lot of, he's just doing amazing work. Fucking love Reese.
Thing too, though, is that I don't think this would have been possible to be able to do this without DAODAO, because there just isn't enough granularity, and you would have to write DAODAO to be able to have this type of governance on chain.
Yeah.
So I think we really need to appreciate the fact that DAODAO exists to and can allow this type of granular governance to happen.
Hey, Jake, just a little experimental thought here, right? You know, DAODAO's on multiple chains now. You know, where do you see this going, man? You know, we structure this sort of charter on Juno. You know, mesh security comes in. We start having councils for other chains. What do you think, mate?
Yeah, I mean, this is all going in an exciting direction. I don't know exactly where it's going, but I think governance, it's one of those things to put a hard value on, right? Like a hard number of like how valuable is governance. But I will say that basically all of the like richest countries in the world have really solid like governance systems. And the countries that are poor tend to have like much more corrupt kind of systems. And so by having like solid governance systems, I really do think, and it's hard to say exactly like what the number is, I really do think it will create value. Another thing to add is that good governance is just like essential to everything, and it really does create value. And though it really also is at the same time impossible to like put a number on like how much value that will create.
Well, I would.
Oh, sorry, Ray. Go on. Then
I was just going to say. Oh, good. I would add that, you know, it's to be a digital citizen, if we want to call it that, it's much easier to move borders. And I think once there's transparent and accountable governance on Juno, I mean, my personal hope would be that other communities demand that of their own chains and of their own protocols and say, why don't we have this type of structure so that we can figure out what's going on?
Lil D, welcome to the call.
Hey guys, I just wanted to touch on what Jake was talking about just a moment ago, because I haven't heard the question asked until then, but like, and I think this testifies to the sort of broad consent and understanding most of the people here already have about the process and why we're doing this. But someone might ask, or on Twitter more likely mock, how does this organizational work capture value? And I think that the answer is that organizations are they don't capture value in themselves, rather they make possible value capture. And this is sort of the animating spirit, I think, behind the charter and constitution work to sort of leverage DAODAO technology and the lessons that we have from economic, legal, and organizational studies of firms and states, so that Juno can organize itself. It can tap into the resources of its human community, the human capital of skills, interests, and experiences that everyone that everyone brings to the table, so that we can move and we can act in these increasingly sophisticated ways. While preserving transparency, accountability, and sort of this decentralized participatory nature that Juno really embraces. And I think this is also, to some degree, to add another dimension, this is also about regulatory proofing Juno. by giving the community this like full authority over all of its ramified parts. So yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's a really great point, is that as we are in this increasingly hostile regulatory environment, a completely decentralized chain with completely decentralized governance is unique amongst all of crypto. Like, what other chain doesn't have a foundation or has the core governance apparatus like fully under community control such they could just vote to rug them? Like, this is like actually a really important thing as we like come into like probably a bit more time of increased regulatory like scrutiny towards these projects, and I would be happy to defend this in court.
I've invited Saul up. I love him, man. I just want to hear if he's got any thoughts on this from the Neutron side of things, because I think Dow's moving over to Neutron as well, man. Soy's a great guy. I'd love to hear his thoughts on these. He's been very quiet, man, and I don't like him quiet. So get your ass up here and have some comments, man.
Oh, maybe we'll do an unrecorded spaces later and we can just get unfiltered Soy.
And people mentioned Rama as well. I do think Rama's an absolute fucking diamond to this community as well. I think he should be involved in it somewhat.
He was definitely a big part of like the Juno working group and helping really kick off a lot of this initiative, and also providing a lot of like valid criticism of the way things worked in the past. And so yeah. Welcome Soy. What's up?
Hey Soy.
How are we doing, guys? Thanks for the invite.
You're welcome.
Nice one. Just trying to have a quiet night and a bit of a break, to be honest with you, and just listen to you guys doing the work for a change. But yeah, all very interesting stuff, mate. I was sitting here agreeing with Jake before when he's talking about sort of the need to compensate people to some extent. And the one thing I'd slightly disagree on with that was that, like, you know, when you're talking about paying people like 1,000 Juno or something, like, it's embarrassing. I don't think it's embarrassing at all. I think it's like completely appropriate, you know. I guess like the hope here is that, you know, ultimately we can turn that 1,000 Juno into $10,000, right? And if people do good jobs and they work hard and they're dedicated to it, then that to me feels like adequate compensation. But it's also, you know, within what the chain can afford. So I think that's the basis that it has to be on. And it's certainly not an embarrassment. But yeah, like sort of beyond that, I don't really have any kind of comment right now. It's just sort of interesting to hear what's going on in Juno, you know, still hold my Juno bags, riding them down to zero like everybody else. And, you know.
Sorry. Always great to have you. And honestly, that was a beautiful comment. Like, seriously. Yeah. And yeah, I think I'm going to Yeah, so
good man.
It's not embarrassing. Yeah, great.
Yeah, if there's not, I think we should wrap it up, to be honest with you guys. I mean, Jacob wants to go. I'm happy for anyone else to come up here and get involved, man. This is what it's all about, the community at the end of the day. Jacob Remy, you're now a speaker.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just want to say, grateful for you guys for still being, you know, being around and working for Juno. Like, I don't know, as like someone is like in the working groups, seeing all the thing happening, I'm like, thing are happening and I'm excited. I just want to say that everybody's interested in chipping in and forging Juno new path. It's time to step forward, you know. What I tell you to all the time, and I'm calling like all the Juno holders, all the people who don't like Juno, anybody who likes Juno, time to step forward. You know what I mean? It's like people want decentralized governance, want decentralized that, decentralized, I don't know, decentralized anything. But I see in this bear market, most people don't want to step forward. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when times are hard, people tend to go away. Now it's like the hard times, the time to make stuff happen. So I just want to come in and kind of like mention that, like the working group or like the people involved with like the charter, they started doing the work. It's kind of like for us as a community to bring the ball forward, you know? So I'm just excited and can't wait to see what's gonna come out of this. As like someone who's still there and like fighting for Juno as much as I can.
Absolutely, Jacob. I totally agree with you. You know, we've got great community members here. You know, Mortal as well. I see him in here. And, you know, Juno Bracer in here. So there's great communities involvement. You know, that's what it's all about. But now we have this charter, I do think, is it's now a structure. It's a building blocks to how we move forward. So, yeah, I can't champion that enough, that the Juno Working Group has absolutely smashed it out of the park with this plan. You know, let's go from here, man. You know, and big shout out to Jake and all the Dal Dal team as well, because they actually build the tools that make this shit happen. Reese is in the background as well, which can also get it on an infrastructure level, make it all happen. You know, I'm optimistic anyway, you know, and I know it's tough times, everybody, but the people in this call are the ones who truly believe that this has got potential. So, like I say, we'll define a structure, we'll define compensation, we'll define some way of becoming members on it. You know, it's going to take time, man. As I say, it's going to take a few more spaces. But yeah, Jake, if you want to add anything.
Yeah, and even with the charter, our work doesn't end, right? We're going to keep evolving Juno governance until it's second to none crypto. And, you know, we can do it. We have new features in DAO that will be landing, thanks to Reese, that will allow for even newer structures that we can potentially add and suggest to this. This is a step forward. That's not the final step on our journey to, like, you know, making Juno governance like the like exemplar example, and really like paving the way. And I think, you know, Juno at its best was when, you know, it was doing like highly experimental things, and that's what made it exciting in the first place. And this is another chance to just make it exciting again. And yeah, let's fucking go. This was a really great conversation. And I'm looking forward to having more throughout like the next couple weeks in process of all this. So,
yes, lads, absolutely. This will be up on Spotify as of tomorrow. Everybody, check out the document, check out the charter. It's some great stuff in there. Like I say, we'll post another space this time next week, probably. But the general community call will be as of Tuesday, as normal. Tune into that as well if you want to catch up on anything. Yeah, now's the time, man. Share it around, get people involved. Thanks for coming on. I do apologise for running a bit late tonight. It was a bit hectic getting into Spain today. So really appreciate you, Ray and Jake, for taking the lead on the co-host. And thanks, Max, for hosting it on the Juno account. Thanks for all the speakers that have come up as well. Always a pleasure chatting to you all. And we'll catch you on the next one shortly, then, hopefully. Just want to say good night. God bless. Take care, everybody. All the best.
See you.
There's this principle in like Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code. And now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out. Teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches, when they choose to have fish, hits. All you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, the shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we'd call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here, rewiring features. More critical thinking, huh? Less knee-jerk, more evolution, less shitcoin preachers. Pretending to be teachers, y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rap fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts, and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the better end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Terror Spaces.